There are a few places left on my bucket list. I want to go to Israel, of course, and Ireland, and Paris, and Paducah. Actually, I have been to Paducah, so check that box. I'd like to go to San Francisco. I'd love to see a golden sunset behind the Golden Gate Bridge and ride a trolley up and down the streets past the Victorian houses. I want to see the Full House. And I want to see Alcatraz. Alcatraz is the stuff of legend. A prison so secure only a handful of people have ever escaped, and we don't even know if they really escaped. They've never been found. A few used a vacuum motor for a makeshift drill and raincoats for rafts. They even converted a musical instrument to inflate their raincoat raft. These guys were crafty. Sometime between June 11th and June 12th, 1962, these three made their getaway. They slipped through the air vents in their cells, up onto the roof and into the water for their two-mile swim to freedom. A while later, one of the raincoat life vests washed ashore. 1,576 prisoners in Alcatraz, and even less than a handful escaped and lived to tell about it. In fact, we don't really know if anyone ever escaped and lived to tell about it. Alcatraz was ironclad, and what made it so formidable a federal prison was the 2 miles of Pacific Ocean that surrounded it. More might escape if it just wasn't for that pesky sea. Good day to you, Simplify listeners. You're listening to L.J. Harry, and you're listening to No More Sea on Simplify. John was banished to the Alcatraz of his day, a little island named Patmos. He was a preacher, but now a prisoner. Sentenced to life surrounded by criminals, Rome wanted to watch wither away on this family-forsaken island. When you think of the island of Patmos, don't think vacation. Think Alcatraz. The only thing that separated John from hugging his family was that pesky sea. He looked across the sea, too deep to wade across and too wide to swim across. Following Jesus cost John his freedom and would most likely cost him his life, but he was willing to pay that price because he loved Jesus more than life. The sea pounded the shore and kept him up at night. It laughed at him as it lapped against the shore, taunting him as it came in and went out, as if inviting him to make a break for it. But one day, on the Lord's Day, John looked up into the bright blue heavens, and God pulled back the curtain for him to see heaven. And there on Patmos Prison, John glimpsed glory, and he wrote what he saw. He wrote in Revelation 21, and it was gorgeous, like a bride on her wedding day. The city was breathtaking because God is heaven's architect and heaven's builder. John saw a city with streets as pure gold as transparent glass, jasper walls, a gate of pearl, light so brilliant the sun would be ashamed to shine. There's no small print on the brochure that you'll wish you would have read more carefully when you get to heaven. You won't have to wave down the waitstaff to ask for more of this, turn that up, turn that down. Not in heaven. Heaven will be perfect, just like God designed and built. And on that day, we shall see Jesus as he is. The one we sing to on this day, we will see on that day. And we won't see a baby in a manger or a carpenter in a shop or a Messiah on a cross. We will see the King of Kings where he has always been, sitting on his throne, high and lifted up. That's how John saw him, and how we will see him. But John was with Jesus for 3 years. He saw Jesus. He saw Jesus' calloused hands and 10-toed, sandaled, sand-caked feet. But when John wrote what he saw when he saw him in heaven, John fell at his feet because he finally saw Jesus as he is. On that day, in the twinkling of an eye, in 1/1 billionth of a second, when Jesus comes back, we will finally see him as he is. C.S. Lewis said it right. If you read history, you'll find that the Christians who did most for the present world were precisely those who thought most of the next. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they have become so ineffective in this. I used to hope heaven was a bottomless buffet of mushroom pizza and Mountain Dew. Now I don't even care if heaven has generic cornflakes. You can strip the gold streets and put down crushed limestone and rip off all the jasper from the walls and put up half-inch sheetrock. I still want to go to heaven. And it's not just because I don't want to go to hell. It's because I want to be with Jesus. Everyone in heaven will worship the holy God of heaven. There will be no more debates. Certainly no more presidential debates. No philosophizing over who God is or if God is. When John looked up, he saw God do something that would draw a tear from the driest eye. He wrote, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." God could appoint a No More Tears committee to meet us at the gate to wipe away all tears before we step inside of heaven. Oh, no siree, not in here. This is a tear-free zone. But this is one task God won't delegate, because God has seen every tear we have shed at the bedside and graveside of the ones we loved, then lost. He has seen every tear we've shed over children who lost their way, or spouses who lost their jobs, or parents who lost their health. And when our time ends and eternity begins, it will begin with the gentle touch of his once-pierced hand, wiping away every tear from our eyes. I applaud John. Good job, bud. You did your best. But I'm sorry, John, your words fall colorless to paint the picture of heaven. So John didn't just tell us what would be in heaven. He painted a few brushstrokes to tell us what won't. There will be no death there. Heaven will be the death of death. No sad goodbyes, no parting there, no sorrow, no crying, no more pain. Our world knows pain. We can't imagine a world where we will know no pain. We even try to dress it up. If you visit the James in Columbus, Ohio, you'll find it's the number one cancer center in central Ohio. There's scarlet and gray everywhere, the two best colors God ever married together. There are rooms with glass walls. There's a beautiful bistro on the first floor and an au bon pan on the conference level. Free Wi-Fi in the waiting room, charging stations for your phone, everything is state-of-the-art. But it's still a hospital. It's state-of-the-art, but it's a state-of-the-art reminder that our world is broken, that our bodies are breaking down, that we're not okay. But in heaven, there is no sickness in heaven. No disease, no degeneration, no debilitation, no handicaps, no walkers, no wheelchairs, no potholes, no mud parking lots, no long lines, no pop quizzes, no final exams, no taxes, no layoffs, no blazing sun, no stinging rain, no biting wind, no tornadoes, no hurricanes, no car accidents, no nursing homes, no funeral homes, no famine, no fighting, no gangs, no violence, no addiction, no alcohol abuse, no rehab, no recovery houses, no divorce, no broken homes, no child abuse, no terrorism, no more war, not even a rumor of war. I'm not trying to sell you on heaven. That'd be like trying to sell Noah on a circular saw. I just want to lift your eyes a little higher than what you see where you are, to remind you and cheer you about heaven. All you see right now is the here and now, but I want to remind you there is a there and then. And John looked hard and long, but he did not see it. John did not see the sea. When he looked at his here and now, around his world, the sea is all he saw. But when he looked at heaven, he didn't see the sea. And a smile as wide as the Mediterranean Sea broke across his parched face, as he smiled and put pen to parchment and wrote, there was no more sea. The longer I live, the more loved ones I lose. I attend more funerals and I officiate a few more. But there is coming a day when we will see what John saw. We will see heaven. We will see him. And we will see them. There will be nothing to separate us from the one who loves us and the ones who loved us, because in heaven, for all its beauty and grandeur, there will be no separation, not from him, not from them. Thanks, John. Thanks for letting us know that in heaven, there is no more sea. I'd like us to pray right now. If you're going through a tough time, I want to remind you and cheer you. that we are living this life for the next, and there is coming a day there'll be no more sea. Lord Jesus, I love you. God, I feel your presence. I feel your spirit encouraging me, and I pray encouraging others. I ask you to minister to those who are hurting and broken right now. Those, God, who are struggling with their faith, when they look around and see the sea, I pray, Lord God, you would please bless them and minister to them and help them. Lift their eyes above the here and now, God. Let them glimpse glory, I pray. Let them see in the Word of God what you have prepared for those who love you. I ask you today to please minister. I pray, God, encourage and strengthen and bless your people. And those who are listening who are not ready to meet you, I pray, God, draw them close. Let them look into your Word and find out how to be right with you. I pray, Lord Jesus, please minister and help us today to live this life for the next, when we will see you as you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode. I pray you're encouraged. I pray you lift your eyes higher. I pray you would see what John saw. See him and see there's no more sea there. If you enjoyed this episode, I'm so glad. If it encouraged you and blessed you and cheered you, I'm so glad. If you've got questions about it, either about heaven, is it real? How do I get there? What do I do to be right with God? Let me know. I want to hear from you. You can look me up on Facebook, lj.harry, or Twitter and Instagram, LJ and Andrea, LJAndAndrea. And I'd love to hear from you and be able to reply and respond to you. Thanks again for tuning in to Simplify. If you'd like to get a copy of the devotional Simplify from which this podcast launched, you can pick that up at PentecostalPublishing.com or Amazon. It is a devotional to help walk you through the year, to help you draw closer to Jesus. And it's 52 weeks, so one devotion per week to kickstart your devotion or complement your already strong devotional life. Next week, I want to share with you a devotion called God's Greatest Gifts Are Whose. Sounds a little odd. Hope I can make sense of it. I look forward to sharing that with you next week, and always look forward to walking closer with Jesus as we walk through Simplify. This month of October, I'd like to issue a challenge. I know there are several states who love to compete with one another, and so I would like to call on the states of Texas and Louisiana to compete for the most simplified downloads. By the end of October, will it be the Texans or the Cajuns who come out on top on this little competition? I'll keep you posted each week and let you know who's in the lead, and at the end of October, who will take home the bragging rights for the most simplified downloads in the month of October. Next week, I want to share with you a devotion called God's Greatest Gifts Are Whose. Sounds a little strange, and I hope to make sense of it. I look forward to sharing that with you next week, and always look forward to walking closer with Jesus as we walk through Simplify.